Good morning. It is 9 a.m. We are here today, October 5th, 2020, in the OPA Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagania, Guam, for the formal hearing of OPA PA 19-011 and 20-003, Basil Food Industrial Services Corporation versus the General Services Agency. Presiding over the hearing today is Public Auditor Benjamin J.F. Cruz. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jarek Hernandez and Clarissa Roque. Will Appellant Basil please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Jerry Diaz here on behalf of Basil Foods Industrial Services. The institutional representative available today is Mr. Michael Zhu, who's the president of the company.
Thank you. Will Purchasing Agency GSA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Sandra Cruz Miller, Office of the Attorney General on behalf of Purchasing Agency, General Services Agency. Present here today is institutional representative Mr. Robert Cono. Also present is Ms. Claudia Aplagi, the Chief Procurement Officer. And in the waiting room we have Ms. Anita Cruz, also from GSA.
Thank you. Will interested party SH Enterprises please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Vanessa Williams, attorney for SH Enterprises, Inc., the interested party present with me today. Seated to my right is Ms. Hui Sin Min, the president of SH Enterprises, Inc.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Ms. Cruz.
Good morning, Mr. Cruz. May I start with an opening statement?
Please.
And I wanted to thank the OPA and Mr. Cruz for allowing us the opportunity to present our case this morning. Basil has issued two separate protests in relation to GSA 5619, which is a contract to provide food services to our Manangku. The first protest occurred in November 2019, and the basis for that protest was that SH Enterprises was not a responsive bidder because it failed to disclose its non-compliance with the terms of an earlier and similar contract. The similar contract that I'm referring to is a contract that it was awarded in April 2019, also to provide food services to our Manangku. That contract was set to occur, or the services were scheduled to be performed from April 1st, 2019 to April 30th, 2019. Within 3 days of performing that contract, SH Enterprises was inspected by Department of Public Health and Social Services, and they received a C rating. That C rating is significant because under the terms of that April 2019 contract, any rating that is below a B would result in a termination of the contract. Before an official termination was issued by GSA, SH Enterprises withdrew from the contract on the basis that they claimed that they didn't have a sufficient number of drivers to deliver the meals in a timely manner. Pursuant to that contract, the meals had to be delivered between the hours of 10 a.m. to 12:30 noon. And apparently, without sufficient drivers, they could not do that. So for today's hearing, we'll present evidence that SH Enterprises was non-responsive for its failure to provide that information to GSA in relation to its bid of GSA 5619. Now, there's a specific section in GSA 5619 that says, and this is section 2.4 and 2.5F, which states that a bidder is required to produce any information regarding noncompliance with any contract that it has had in the past 3 years. And I'm sorry, non-compliance with the terms of any contract that it has had in the past 3 years. So we'll show that, one, the C rating effectively warranted the termination from the April 2019 contract. And two, even despite the other party's claims that there was no termination, SH still should have informed the GSA that they were non-compliant in their requirement to maintain a B rating or higher, as section 2.4 and 2.5 indicates you must advise of that information. And lastly, SH failed to indicate that they were also non-compliant by failing to have enough drivers to provide the meals in a timely manner. When we look at the two contracts, we feel that this information is should have had the opportunity to take this information into consideration, especially since it's a very similar contract, similar recipients, similar food service, and this is clear evidence of the bidder's past performance history. This plays a role into whether or not they are a responsible bidder for GSA 5619. We're looking at a 3-year or possibly 5-year contract, and the past history is material in determining whether or not they comply with the requirements of this long-term contract. Since they failed to provide this information, it is our contention that SH is not a responsible bidder. Our second protest occurred in January 2020 of this year based on SH's violations of the ethical requirements and standards laid out not only throughout the contract terms of GSA 5619, but also under Guam's procurement laws and regulations. Now, this violation occurred when SH Enterprises provided a substantial favor to the government of Guam by giving it or allowing it the use of the Hakubutan building, complete with utilities and parking, for use as their water claims processing center. And they provided this, or the use of this building, for free. The significance of the facts in this case should shed additional light on this matter and why it is an ethical violation. And 2.5 months before they offered or provided this favor to the government, they were awarded GSA 5619, which is a $3.7 million contract. And when this favor was provided to the government, there was still an ongoing protest of the contract that had not yet been resolved. And lastly, 1 month after this favor to the government, SH then received an even bigger contract, a $5.9 million contract for food services to the Department of Corrections. When you look at all of these events and the fact that they all occurred within the same time period, it raises a lot of red flags. We'll point through a number of paragraphs and sections throughout GSA 5619, which all prohibit any ethical violations by the bidder or the awarded vendor. And it's really important to stress the fact that these Guam procurement laws and regulations were enacted to avoid this type of situation, this type of impropriety. These laws were set to ensure fair and equitable treatment of all those who deal in the procurement process, to foster healthy competition between all bidders, and to ensure the quality and integrity of the procurement process, to name a few. As I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of red flags in terms of the facts that occurred in this case. It calls into question SH Enterprises' actions, and it utterly and completely violates the spirit and the basis of our procurement laws. And in fact, this violation is so serious and egregious that SH Enterprises should be debarred and the contract should be canceled. So at the end of these proceedings, we will request that BOP find that SH was not a responsive bidder, not a responsible bidder, that the GSA 5619 was improperly awarded to SH Enterprises, and that SH Enterprises did in fact violate the ethical rules and regulations such that they should be debarred and this contract should be terminated. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay, my first witness this morning is Ms. Claudia Afadi. Good morning.
Raise your right hand. Please state your name.
Claudia Ezekwadi.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Okay,
read that. Please.
If I may, just a question. I do have a binder. May I present that to you, Ms. Afadi?
Please.
And if I could just... position at GSA?
The chief procurement officer.
And how long have you held that position?
About 16 or 17 years now.
What exactly is your role at GSA as a chief procurement officer?
I review and approve contracts for the land agencies and departments, purchase order contracts. And I handle the invitation for bids and the small purchase requirements for the government line agencies and departments.
When you say you review and approve these documents, do you actually take part in preparing them as well and figuring out what specifications need to go into?
I review. Actually, the supervisor, you know, puts everything together for my review. So the actual legwork is with the supervisor or the staff below me.
And who is the supervisor?
I'm Miss Anita Cruz.
Okay. And so, just so I'm clear, so you do a final review of the IFP or the RFP before it goes out and is issued to the public?
The invitation for bid, because RFP is not under my purview. But
okay.
Yes, I review the invitation for bid once it's packaged, you know, for its final review.
Okay, what about in regards to emergency procurement, the solicitation? Is that something that's within your purview to review?
Yes, okay. Same process.
As the IFP?
Yes, just review and support it for my final review and approval.
Okay. Now, what factors do you normally take into consideration when determining which bidder to award a contract to?
The specifications that's provided by the line departments or agencies.
And who takes, who plays a role in making that decision aside from yourself?
The supervisor and departments. Of course, the experts are the line departments or agencies again. The end users.
Do you have the final say in that matter?
In the specifications?
In deciding who to award.
Yes, yes.
You have the final
yes.
say. Okay. And do you also have the final authority to execute these contracts for services?
Yes.
Now, what about when terminating a contract? Who has the power to do that?
Again, we get the recommendation from the departments or agencies. And but in some cases, the letter is written directly to me as the contracting officer to, you know, who approves the contracts. So it's directed at times, it's directed to GSA. So then what happens is we confirm with the departments, of the situation that's at hand.
So, I'm sorry, so the department makes a determination regarding the termination and they let you know about it? Is that what you
said? It could be, sometimes the vendors go directly to the department.
Okay.
They write their issues to the department and then the department will forward it to us. You know, they'll let us know. Or sometimes they write directly to us and then we'll contact the department to let them know that, there's a situation at hand, what's going on. So we then ask if it's a service. We ask what's going on with the service, or are they aware of the situation that's written to us?
Okay.
Yes. So it's kind of like a joint. Yes.
Okay. And then, so in terms of the final decision-making authority, would that be you?
To cancel it? Yes.
And in terminating the contract, do you again also look at the specifications of the contract to make that determination?
Yes, what's authorized, you know, within the requirements.
Now, in preparing your testimony for today, did you have the opportunity to review any of the documents or exhibits submitted by the party?
For today's hearing?
Yes.
No.
No. Did you have the opportunity to review the specifications for GSA 5619?
Not at this time, because you know right now it's the closing of the fiscal year. I've been going through a lot with very short resources.
Okay.
But of course we rely on our counsel and of course our advisor.
Okay.
So but we have the documents before us. I can attest if you have questions.
Okay, perfect. Okay, let's start with the exhibit then. If you can go to exhibit 1 for Hazel. And that's on page 2. And it's actually pages 2 through 5. And if you want to take a moment to review that, please let me know when you're done.
$1 million contract that we awarded California Mart on for the long-term contract. For the emergency procurement.
Okay.
Yes.
And what was the service period for this emergency procurement?
It was only from April. That's the first time I've seen that April 5th there. It doesn't normally print that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of your processes at GSA, when would SH Enterprises have noticed that the purchase order was available and that they were?
I don't really recall when they acknowledged.
Okay.
Or they acknowledged on March 29, according to the document.
Okay, all right, thank you. And simply reading this, do you know what type of services were to be provided by SH Enterprises?
Yes, it was food services for the Manampo.
Okay, and just so that we're clear on the record, you indicated California Mart. California Mart is also, I believe it's also known as SH Enterprises. So when I say SH Enterprises and California Mart, they're interchangeable.
Yes.
Just so we're clear.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And you know, the services to be provided, this was for every day, is that correct?
Yes.
Not just Monday through Friday?
Right. Monday through Friday, I can't recall if it included the weekends. I don't think it did.
But it's just a 30-day period.
Yes, it's just a 30-day period. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Can you now turn to Exhibit 2, please?
Exhibit 2?
Yes. Starting on page 7 all the way through page 26. And please take a moment to review this document. Let me know when you're done.
Okay. Page 26, right? Not 27?
Yes, that's page 26.
There are the specifications for the service, the detailed specifications.
And so is this the specifications for the purchase order, which is Exhibit 1?
Correct.
Okay. Generally, when bidders provide their response to the solicitation, is it expected that they would have read the entirety of the solicitation requirements?
We would hope so.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And also, when a bidder provides a response to your solicitation, is it expected that they would ensure that they meet and comply with all the specifications provided?
Yes. Because again, they're the GAR, right? It allows for minor informalities and all that. So if those issues come up, then of course we address it, depending on what the issue is.
But generally, they are expected to comply.
Yes.
With the specification. Now, briefly, I want you to turn to Exhibit 4, please, on page 36. I'm sorry, let me backtrack on that. I apologize. If you can turn to page 13. What I want to do is I want to go through some of the contract terms here. On 13, section 4.13.
Still on tab 4?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you just look at the base stamp number in the bottom, that should help you. So page 13.
I've seen 36 on tab 4 of the sale.
I'm sorry, no, tab 2.
Page 13.
Yes.
Okay.
So section 4.13 talks about the delivery of meals. And so it says that the vendor shall ensure that all meals are complete with meal order, properly packaged, labeled, and ready for delivery to homebound clients. So it was expected that SH would meet this requirement when it was awarded the contract. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And also, as part of section 4.13, it says that the vendor shall ensure meals be delivered no earlier than 10 a.m. and no later than 12:30 p.m. Monday through Sunday, except holidays observed by the government. Was it also expected that SH would meet that requirement upon award of the contract?
Yes.
Thank you. If you go to page 15. Section 5.1. You see that?
Yes.
Okay, that talks about the requirement that the vendor shall ensure that the entire staff is qualified for their duties and responsibilities. Was that also expected when they were awarded the contract?
Yes.
Thank you. And then if you go to section 5.2 on page 15, that section, I'll summarize it for you, essentially indicates that the vendor shall ensure that its staff has the current TV clearances, police clearances, high school diploma, attend annual orientation to Title II programs, have a current health certificate, and complete several training programs. Was it also expected that SH and its employees would meet those requirements?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And if you can please turn to page 18, section 6.11 says that the vendor shall ensure all EMP delivery staff is properly licensed by the Department of Motor Vehicle, Government of Guam. Again, was SH also required to comply with that section?
Yes.
Then also section 6.12, also on page 18. The vendor shall ensure the EMP delivery staff are knowledgeable regarding logistics when delivering the meal. That's a summary of that section. Is that a correct statement that SH would have had to comply with that?
Yes.
Too? Thank you. And based on your recollection of this particular contract, I realize it has been a while. Do you know if SH complied with those requirements?
There was a point where they withdrew.
Okay.
You know, they submitted a letter to withdraw their award. I think it was like 3 days into the contract, or maybe 5 days. I can't really recall.
Okay.
But the reason for their withdrawal, at least at the time, what I recollect, is that normally, you know, because this has been going on under emergency for a while, it always switches. So they realized that when they submitted their withdrawal is that Basile at the time was holding back. Normally the drivers will move to whoever the winning bidder is, or, you know, under the emergency, the successful vendor. So I the The communication was that from SH was that they are unable to fulfill because they were held, the drivers were held back by Basile. They are not allowed to transition over as is normally done. Okay, so their justification to us is they realize they're going to lose big time because the department was actually issuing fines and penalties for every time they're late. And they decided to withdraw, submit their letter of withdrawal. That's my recollection at the time. So they withdrew, and then we awarded right away to Basile.
When they made the allegation that the drivers were being held back by Basil, did you actually investigate that to see if Basil was in fact holding the drivers back and not allowing them to transfer to SH?
I can't recollect right now if we actually exercised that process.
Of investigation?
Yes.
So you don't know if that's the correct statement?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay. But that's just what SH told you?
Yes. No, and we also communicated with the department. You know, if they're aware of this is happening.
Okay.
So of course the department was penalizing them because of that situation. And if I recall, I'm not sure who it was right now. I can't really remember, but they did confirm that, you know, the drivers were not transitioning over to SH to support the Monopolist program.
But you don't know if Basil willfully told them to not move over.
I don't know.
Okay, all right. I just want to make if that was a statement that you investigated, or if it's just a claim made by SH.
No, I can't recollect right now.
Okay, all right, thank you. If you can kindly turn to page 24
of the same tab.
Yes, out of the same town. Okay. Okay. Section 12.8 talks about termination for non-compliance with regulatory requirements. And that section specifically states that the vendor who is awarded an emergency procurement for EMP nutrition services is issued a C rating from the Department of Public Health. The awarded vendor shall be terminated as a vendor of the EMP Nutrition Services Program. Is that correct?
That's what it's stated.
Okay. And so when SH was awarded the contract, you would assume that they were fully aware of this particular provision because they're required to read the entirety of the solicitation. Is that correct?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, okay. What is the normal process after public health issues an inspection report? When do you get a copy of it?
To be honest with you, Jerry, we have to request if we hear these things. We don't actually get copies of it. And in this situation where you're bringing up about the C rating, we were not informed. They withdrew before we don't know about the C rating.
Okay.
So we don't normally get those ratings until we request. If we hear something happening, but you know, we did inform them because of that situation that they should be forwarding inspection reports to GSA because then we are the contract holder, then we need to address those issues. But absent the information, then we're not aware.
Okay. So do you recall when GSA was informed that they had an SE rating?
Actually, for that emergency, we never were informed. Not to my recollection.
You're never informed.
Right.
Pursuant to the terms of Section 12.8, had GSA been informed of the C rating, what would have been your response or your protocol to handle that situation?
If that was the case where we were informed of the C?
Yes.
Of course, we will take proper action in accordance to this requirement.
And what would that action have been?
To terminate.
To terminate.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you know, just going back to the C rating, it's a pretty high standard to maintain a B rating or higher. Do you think that has to deal with the recipients of this contract from an uncle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, they should be served with quality, you know, holding the vendors to its highest degree of, you know, between those ratings, because then again, we're dealing with us, you know, they're very vulnerable, so they need to be treated with a lot of care.
Okay. Have you had issues in the past where, because the food was either spoiled or not prepared properly, that perhaps one of the food got sick or was injured from the food?
Actually, there was incidents with Basile, you know, where we find there's newspaper ads or evidence that they have cockroaches, they have maggots, you know. So, and that was all over the news at one time.
Okay, so now there's a heightened, I mean, they
so, you know.
So there's a heightened requirement that they need a B rating or higher.
Yes.
To protect them.
Yes, yes.
Can
you please turn to Exhibit 5, page 43? Okay.
Are you familiar with this document?
I don't really recall it, but of course it's addressed to me.
Okay. So basically, this is a document issued by Mr. Zulo Basil, dated April 5th, 2019, advising of the term or specification of the contract regarding a C rating, and that upon issuance of a C rating, the contract must be terminated. Attached to this letter is a copy of Public Health Inspection Report for SH Enterprises documenting the C rating.
Jerry, do you need to have a staff copy of GSA acknowledging this?
So if you go to page 52, is your stamp there?
Yes.
It is.
Oh, let me see. Okay, yes, there's a stamp there.
Which one is yours?
The one with the last of the three stamps.
Oh, the one that says acknowledgement copy or the one below that?
Acknowledgement copy.
Okay, all right. The one received at 932.
Yes.
Okay, so it was received by GSA.
Okay.
And had SH Enterprises not withdrawn and you received this, you testified earlier as to your protocol. Can you repeat again what your protocol would have been?
Would have been to terminate?
You mean
the document?
Upon receipt of this document, what would you have done in light of the specifications in the contract regarding AC rating?
I really don't recall receiving this. So sometimes when documents come in, you know, it forwards to the, we have this assignment. So I'm not sure if this actually went directly to Mr. Kono for his review as our advisor before it got to me. So that's the way we handle documentations when they come in,
okay.
Especially when it comes with court or OPA.
Okay. But had it come to you or Mr. Kono, what would the process have been?
To terminate.
Okay. And how would you have effectuated that termination?
We would have wrote a letter to to a California Mart.
Okay. And would it have been termination without delay?
Yes.
Like you wouldn't sit on it. You'd immediately issue out the termination.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Can you go to GSA's Exhibit 5. I'm sorry, Exhibit F, I apologize.
GSA,
Exhibit F.
Okay.
If you need to take a moment to review that document.
Yes.
Okay, and what is this?
This is the letter that was submitted by the MIDS to withdraw SH,
okay.
To withdraw the award or their contract.
Okay. And here it indicates that they were not able to obtain drivers in a timely manner.
Right.
Okay. But generally speaking, as a bidder and an awarded vendor, they had an obligation to ensure that they had enough drivers to perform the contract.
That's correct. But as I stated earlier, you know, the norm, because we've handled this emergency for quite some time, is that whoever is the successful vendor, the drivers normally follows
okay.
the successful vendor.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's the driver's prerogative to go to the new vendor. Is that a correct statement? They don't have to. It's whether or not they want to.
Yeah, but I'm sure, you know, they need a livelihood. A lot of times, that's the norm. We don't ever see that to be an issue in the past. So it's just that one particular time, which is this April time.
And now if you can go back to Basil's exhibit number 4, please. Starts on page 36.
Okay.
And if you need to take some time to review it. And what is this contract?
This is the purchase order where once the MIDS with SH withdrew, then we turned around and immediately awarded it to Basile.
Okay.
For the food services for the month.
And what's the expectation that we would take on the contract through April 30th?
Yes.
Okay. And then after April 30th, a new solicitation was issued, is that correct?
Yes.
Basile.
Yeah, and I guess the reason for from this time on, this award, I don't think the MIDS or SH has ever submitted another quotation after this
okay.
for the emergency.
Okay. And so the next contract, the next solicitation,
RFP,
was the one issued for November, is that correct?
Yes.
GSA 56-19?
Yes.
Okay.
The bid.
The bid, first. Now, if you can please turn to Exhibit 7, starting on page 75. And there's quite a number of pages to that document, so if you need to take time to review it, please do so.
Okay. This is the bid submitted by SH.
Okay. And so just for clarification on the record, so this is the bid for GSA 5619, and this is for the food services to be provided to our members, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Did you assist in drafting the specifications for this bid?
No, the specifications is actually drafted by the departments.
Okay. But did you have the opportunity for a final review of this before it was issued to the potential bidders?
I can't recall.
Okay.
In a while.
Okay. But it would have been your normal practice to do so?
To review, yes.
Okay, and if you were not available, is there anyone else?
Normally it would be Mr. Connell.
Mr. Connell. So either, one of you would have had the opportunity to review it and approve it before it was issued. Can you just state on the record what type of services was being solicited for this particular bid?
It's for the nutrition services for the comprehensive management, operations, and maintenance of the elderly nutrition program, congregate meals, and the home-delivered meals components.
Okay, can you explain the difference between congregate meals versus home-delivered meals?
The congregate is the meals is delivered to the centers, you know, like where the Monacos play bingo and all that. And then the home deliveries are those that are just, they're not able to transit, you know, to, they're actually homebound.
Okay. And do you recall how many meals were to be provided under this contract?
I can't recall right now.
And actually, if you can go to page 105. In the middle of 105, there's a section that says estimated range of meals served.
Okay.
Okay. Does that help you, or does that help to jog your memory as to how many meals were required to send to this contract?
The estimate of 1,000. and 1,200 meals.
That's for home delivery, is that correct?
Yes.
And then how about for congregate meals?
Congregate. 700 to 800.
Okay. And then if you can turn to page 118, please. Section 5.14b, is it a correct statement that there are about 15 to 16 congregate sites for meal delivery? Yes, on page 118.
Mm-hmm.
So 5.14, and then you go to section B, there's a list of 15 to 16 sites?
Yes.
Are those the sites where SH Enterprises would have had to deliver meals under this contract?
Yes.
Okay. Was any federal money used to finance this contract?
I'm not quite sure, but I'm not quite sure on the funding.
Okay. You know, if there was an inclusion regarding Code of Federal Regulations in the bid specifications, would that give you an idea as to whether or not federal funds were used? That's page 136.
If I can recall, I can't really recall if there was a matching, you know, with the federal. Required with the federal funds, but I think there was some federal funds. I'm not quite sure.
So if there were federal funds used for this contract, would the awarded vendor also have to comply with any federal regulations that govern or that were affected by this contract?
I would assume.
Okay. Do you recall the length of this contract?
I believe it was up to 5 years. You know, there's options.
Okay.
Can't really recall right now, but I can look at the...
If you turn to page 77,
right.
It says 3 years with the option to renew for two additional fiscal years.
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, in terms of the amount of this contract, if you can quickly turn to Exhibit 8, page 163.
document? What is the document?
The bid status.
Okay. And this is where you indicate that the award is going to be given to SH Enterprises, is that correct?
Actually, this was, yeah, well, that's what the document states, but this was actually signed by Ms. Anita Cruz, if you notice.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But is this a standard form that
yes,
we would
yes.
issue out once, and, once a decision has been made?
To the unsuccessful bidder.
Okay. And, you know, it says here the total amount of $3,789.211. Was that the contract price for 3 years or for 5 years?
I can't recall.
You can't recall. If you can please turn to page 111.
The same exit, the same exit.
It is exhibit 7. A government contract during the previous 3 years, list citations in areas of procurement, question costs, material weaknesses, and your organization's non-compliance with contract provisions. So, with this specification, if you look back at the April 2019 contract, the emergency procurement contract, that SH had for a mere week, 5 days, in light of the fact that they were unable to ensure that they had enough delivery drivers to deliver meals in a timely manner, is that something that should have been reported pursuant to this section that requires information regarding non-compliance with contract provisions of any contract within the past 3 years?
I can't really recall. You know, right now with the review.
Let me rephrase that.
Okay.
Because SH Enterprises was unable to fulfill a requirement in the April 2019 contract of having a sufficient number of drivers, is that something that should have been provided to GSA pursuant to this particular section? And just so you know, this section says, for any contract in the past 3 years, if there is non-compliance with any of those provisions, you should report it. So the fact that SH Enterprises failed to have enough drivers in April 2019, which was not in compliance with the contract specification, that's something that should have been reported.
I really can't recall right now. If that is the case, yes. But I can't really recall. I understand what you're saying,
yeah.
Where this is stipulated,
okay.
And we shall comply, but I can't really recall what transpired, because I do recollect, if anything, I'm trying to remember about, maybe they both, I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
But I know there was something to this effect where both of them failed, if I remember correctly.
When you say both,
both vendors, both.
Okay.
But I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
I would have to go back and look.
Okay, but I guess my question is not if SH reported it. My question is, should they have reported it? Excuse me, because the April 2019 contract required enough drivers. They didn't have it, meaning they didn't comply with the contract. So They should have reported it.
Yeah, they should have. They should have reported it.
Well, they should have.
Yeah.
Okay. The other issue too is with regard to the April 2019 contract, which required the maintenance of a B rating or higher. The fact that SH got a C rating meant they didn't comply with that contract requirement. So when they issued this bid, should they have also reported that earlier non-compliance regarding the rating?
Yes.
If there was a C rating, they should have reported it.
Sure.
Okay. When GSA makes its analysis regarding the responsibility of a bidder, here we're looking at a contract where we have the same type of services, food services. We're looking at the same recipients from Manoku, who are part of a highly susceptible population, where we have an added goal of ensuring that the food that they receive meets all the food safety standards and sanitation standards. In terms of that, these prior non-compliance by FH Enterprises, is that something that GSA would have taken into consideration and placed weight on in determining whether or not they were a responsible bidder?
Can you repeat the question?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a bit long. Okay. So when GSA looks at the specifications of a contract and when it makes its determination as to who it should award a contract, you said that you look at certain factors. The factors here are that there was a very similar contract a couple months ago. SH Enterprises failed to have enough drivers. They failed to meet the B standard, the B rating standard. Are those things that GSA would have taken into account when awarding the bid to SH Enterprises?
It would have, of course, all bidders, not
right.
just SH,
right.
but the entire, when they do the analysis. So it would be a factor.
And how much weight would you have placed on the fact that they failed to meet the inspection requirements or the B rating, especially dealing with a highly susceptible population?
For the April service?
Yeah, so if you're looking at the bid packet for FH Enterprises, and they did inform you that they received a C rating, I mean, how much weight would you have placed on that in determining whether or not they were a responsible bidder?
I'm trying to understand your question, but
let me rephrase it. Would GSA have placed great weight on the fact that SH failed to comply with the Guam Food Code in an earlier contract? Would you have placed great weight on that in determining whether or not they were a responsible bidder?
We would have, but again, depending on the situation at the time, where again, if the bidders, let's say the bidders, because there was only two, and they failed on the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, treating them, like you said earlier in your opening statement, fair and equitable treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So then we take it at that, because the fact of the matter is, we do need to establish a long-term contract for the services that's been going on an emergency basis every month. So depending on the analysis at the time, if both fail, then of course it's fair. We're going to waive or accept both of them, depending on what it is. So there was a lot of issues here, which is very technical in this particular contract, that we looked at both, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because our goal was to actually get into a long-term contract. But I can't remember what those issues were at this time.
And what I'm trying to get out from you is that the fact that they had a C rating in the past is something that you would have placed great weight on in considering
them.
Okay. Yeah, same page actually.
Okay.
Same page, the top of page 111, Department of Public Health and Social Services rating requirement. And I'll read that. The Older Americans Act Amendment Nutrition Services Program provides the most frail and vulnerable older adults with nutrition services that are helping them to stay in their communities. Therefore, in order to ensure that Guam senior citizens who are at risk, who are an at-risk population, are served the highest quality food, Department of Public Health and Social Services requires the vendor to maintain an E rating or above throughout performance of the bid. If the vendor receives a C or D rating, it is automatic grounds for termination. So that's the requirement for this contract, GSA 5619. And would you say that it is in line with the requirement for the April 2019 contract where you maintain a B rating or higher?
I can't recall the April, but
okay.
Of course for the 5619 it's stated there.
Okay, well actually let me give it to the April. Go to page 24 of Exhibit 2.
Okay.
Section 12.8, termination for noncompliance. And that's the section that says if the vendor is awarded a C rating, the last sentence says vendor shall be terminated as vendor for the ESP. Okay, and then if you go to page 111 for the current contract, GSA 5619, this is also stating that if a vendor fails to maintain a B rating or above throughout the performance of the bid, that's grounds for termination.
Yeah.
So again, because we're dealing with a highly susceptible population, both contracts are in line in that if you fail to meet a certain level, you'll be terminated. Is that correct?
Correct. But for this contract, I don't know if there's any less than a B. I'm not sure.
Okay. I want to move on to the next issue dealing with ethical issues, which is part of our project. Can you please turn to page 89, which is Exhibit 7? Okay. And this is a page that's part of the invitation for bids, which we discussed earlier. So are you familiar with this document on page 89?
Yes.
Okay. And what is this document?
Receiving gratuities or kickbacks, you know, like gifts over $250, I guess.
And is this a standard form that's required for all vendors when responding to an ISP?
Yes, it is.
And you said that you've been doing this for you've held your position for about 16 years. Has it always been that way where this form is required?
Yes.
Okay. What is your understanding regarding the reasoning behind bidders or vendors not providing in gratuities or kickbacks?
To ensure that they're, again, fair and equitable treatment in the process, the procurement process.
I Is it also to ensure, you know, the quality and integrity of the procurement process?
Sure.
To ensure that there are no claims of favoritism, nepotism, things of that nature?
Correct, and it falls to fair and equitable treatment.
Right, okay. And how about on page 90? Are you familiar with this document?
Yes.
Okay, and what is this document?
The, again, ethical standards.
Okay. And so here, SH is testifying that they've not breached any of the ethical standards indicated in the block procurement code. Is that correct?
According to the document?
According to the document.
Yes.
Now, there's a number of terms and conditions in this contract prohibiting ethical violations, and I wanted to just go over them with you. If you can turn to page 94, please. And it's section 31.
Okay.
And it says, representation regarding ethics in public procurement. The bidder or contractor represents that it has not knowingly influenced and promises that it will not knowingly influence the government employee to breach any of the ethical standards, and represents that it is not violating and promises that it will not violate the prohibition against gratuities and kickbacks set forth in Chapter 11 of the Foreign Procurement Act and Chapter 11 of the Foreign Procurement Regulations. So upon awarding the contract to SH Enterprises, was there an expectation that they would meet the requirements of this particular section?
Sure.
Okay. And what about section 34 on that same page? Bidders awarded a contract under this solicitation shall comply with the applicable standards, provisions, and stipulations of all pertinent federal and or local laws, rules, regulations, etc. So again, SH was required to meet this the requirements of this particular section as well, correct?
Sure.
Thank you. If you go to page 145 of that same exhibit, if you go to section 16.8, which says debarment, form debarment and suspension, contractor warrants that it will comply with the provisions of 5 QCA chapter 5, articles 9 and 11, subject to debarment or suspension. Now those are the sections of the Guam Procurement Code, and they talk about the prohibition against ethical violations. So was it also expected that SH Enterprises would comply with that section?
Sure.
You also will go to page 149, special terms and conditions. Section A, general compliance with laws. The bidder agrees that they shall comply with all federal and territorial laws, rules, regulations, and ordinances applicable to the work being performed here under. Again, SH Enterprises was required to comply with any relevant laws and regulations.
Sure.
For this contract, correct?
Correct.
If you go to page 160, 160, about additional contract terms and conditions. Section 22.1 talks about ethical standards, and 22.2 talks about the prohibition against gratuities and kickbacks. Again, SH would have had to comply with those sections to prohibit ethical violations, right?
Sure.
Can you please turn to exhibit 9? page 166 and 166 all the way through 175, and if you need to take some time to review that, fine.
That's the award, the contract for one of the purchase order, a contract award for the petition program.
Okay, for GSA 5619.
Yes.
And so this contract says 36 months agreement. So upon, I'm sorry, if you look at page 166 on the top left hand corner, it says 36 month agreement. So was it standard that you would do purchase orders for increments? So since this was a potentially 5-year contract, this is for 36 months, and upon the expiration, you would issue out a different or another purchase order for the next time period?
Correct.
Okay. And so for this 36 months, it was, the contract amount was $158,441. Is that correct?
Correct.
Is that your signature on the bottom of the page?
Yes.
Page 156. And if you turn to page 165, this is the contract for the congregate meal portion. Correct?
Correct.
And then if you turn to exhibit 11, if you need to take some time to review that, page 180. This is the home delivered contract.
Correct.
And it's also for a 36 month period as indicated on page 181.
Correct.
Is that correct? And if you can please turn to exhibit 17, which starts on page 202.
Okay.
Do you need to take some time to review that?
Yes, it's still the 56. Or 00120?
Yeah, so this is a different IFB. It's designated GSA 001-20, Food Services for DOC Inmates and Detainees.
Yes.
Okay. Are you familiar with this document?
Yes.
Okay. And this was submitted by SH Enterprises, is that correct?
Correct.
And do you recall who this contract was awarded to?
SH.
Okay. And do you recall the amount of that contract?
Not right away. I can take a look at the award. I don't remember the amount.
Okay. And if you go to page 204, it says on the top that this was a 3-year contract with an option to renew for 2 additional years.
Correct.
So it's similar to GSA 5619.
On the terms.
In the terms, yeah. And as we discussed with GSA 5619, this invitation for bid also has an affidavit regarding no gratuities or kickbacks on page 207. And then on page 208, an affidavit regarding ethical standards. So those, again, are standard forms for an IFB, correct?
Correct.
And then there's also a section regarding general terms and conditions. Is there a standard form that you use and you just check the box as to what applies to a particular contract?
Yes, which is our general terms and conditions.
Oh, okay. So if you look at the general terms and conditions on pages 219 through 212, that's the standard form that you also use for GSA 5619.
Yes.
Mr. Cruz, I may have a moment just to look at my
notes,
and if you'd like any other to ask questions or quickly cruise, I'm sure we'll be fine with that.
Okay, so you'll have a chance to ask questions after.
Okay.
So, do you have any questions? Ms. Miller, do you
I have a question, too. Okay. Morning, Mr. Clazzi. Who currently has the Elderly Nutrition Program contract for Department of Public Health and Social Services?
California.
So, or SH Enterprises, alternatively. Okay. Earlier, you testified regarding an April 2019 emergency procurement for the same services, correct?
Correct.
And that is a completely different procurement from the contract that SH Enterprises currently has with GSA, correct?
Correct.
Okay. You stated you had, and we just discussed in referencing Basil's Exhibit 17, a food services contract with the Department of Corrections as well.
SH?
They also have the contract with DOC.
Correct.
Which was a completely separate procurement from the ENP program.
Correct.
Now, you stated you have final authority to terminate a contract as the Chief Procurement Officer, correct?
Correct.
And was it also... Well, would you also, in terminating a contract, would you obtain the recommendation of a using agency before doing so?
Yes.
And can you, how would you do that? Would you meet with the using agency or write them a letter?
I normally contact them either by phone, you know, we just discuss it, or they'll come down, we'll request for a meeting.
Okay, and what would be... however, ultimately the decision would be up to you?
Together, collaboratively with the department, the using agency.
Okay. And so you would give great weight to the using agency's recommendation?
Yes.
In the case of the April 2019 emergency procurement for elderly nutrition services, it was your testimony that you did not terminate that contract with SH. Okay. Did you ever receive a recommendation from Public Health? Public Health is using the agency,
yes.
Right? Did you ever receive a recommendation from them to terminate the contract, the April 2019 procurement with SH?
I can't really recall, but I do know that we did, collaboratively spoke to them. Because, and I guess what raised the issue, Vanessa, is that they were getting fined. I guess it was fines already just the first few days of this contract.
And do you recall why they were getting fined?
Because, again, the justification provided was that their drivers, as stated in their letter, the withdrawal letter, that the drivers from the Basile or the unsuccessful vendor was not transferring over to join them with the program as normally done.
Okay, so those fines would be for the failure to deliver meals?
On time,
okay. So timeliness was important.
Yes.
Your testimony is you never received notice of SH's C rating on April 3rd, 2019 from Public Health, correct?
Yeah, that's my recollection, yes.
Okay. And earlier you testified that if SH did not have enough drivers, they should have reported this to GSA. Was it your testimony that they should have reported this to GSA or Public Health? But SH did in fact notify that they did not have enough drivers when they withdrew their from the April 2019 emergency procurement.
Yes, which was stated on their withdrawal letter.
Now, you were shown an exhibit from Basil. It was a letter to you dated April 5th, 2019, a stamp received by GSA notifying GSA that SH did in fact get a C rating on April 3rd, 2019. Correct?
Correct.
But you just don't recall when you actually saw it.
Right.
Now, as a result, so it's fair to say that as a result of that letter from Basil, you did not terminate the contract with SH.
No.
Did you initiate any debarment or suspension proceedings against SH?
No.
Did you receive a petition to do so based on their C rating or violation, alleged violations of the April 2019 procurement?
Not that I recall.
So you definitely did not receive one from Basil?
Not that I recall.
Okay. Has Basil ever had a contract for the elderly nutrition program?
Yes.
To your knowledge, did Basil ever have a C or D rating while they have a contract?
Your Honor, up to you. Mr. Crew, I'm going to check because Basil's history as a vendor is not an issue in this case. The issue in this case is SH's past history and their violation of the terms and conditions of the April 2019 contract and their failure to report it what they did on the GSA's contract. I don't believe Basil's history has anything to do with those issues.
I'm going to allow the question. I note the objection and will allow the question.
Thank you. So I'll repeat the question, Ms. Abadzi. To your knowledge, have Basil ever had a C or D rating while they had the elderly nutrition program contract?
I believe they did.
Now, you testified that if SH had had a C rating, you would have given this consideration in evaluating the subsequent procurement, correct?
Yes.
So, and in order to ensure fair and equitable treatment, you would have given the same consideration to any other bidders who had the C or D rating. Now, for the existing contract that was awarded, I believe, in November 2019, the contract at issue, the procurement at issue, do you recall if Basil disclosed their prior C or D rating?
I don't recall.
Okay. Now, as a chief procurement officer, were you also responsible for the procurement for the food services contract with the Department of Corrections?
Correct.
And were you aware that the governor's office had utilized space from SH Enterprises in January of this year?
Were we aware?
Were you aware?
Well, we weren't aware until the news went out on the, but when they were making their, we're not aware of how the governor's office acquired that, because GSA had no involvement in that, them utilizing the building for I guess the war reparation. Okay. We had no knowledge of what.
But you were, as the CP Chief Procurement Officer, you did have final authority to approve the food services contract with the Department of Corrections.
Correct.
Did you said that you were aware via the news of this event. Did that event influence your decision to award the DOC food services contract to SH?
No. In fact, I don't even know it was before. I wasn't paying much attention, but of course I stay focused when we're handling this procurement.
Thank you. other questions. Thank you.
I have some questions. In 5619, were both parties required, was it a requirement of the IFB in 5619 for all parties to provide copies of their C ratings that they had received in the prior 3 years?
I'm not quite sure, Your Honor, if it was required to submit the copies of their ratings, but I do know that they were supposed to disclose it. So I'm not sure.
Did both of them disclose it to you?
If I remember, I can't really remember, but I know that there was a situation where both of them didn't meet something. I just can't zero in on what that is.
In fact, both of them could not have been found to be responsible under IFB 5619 because both of them had within the prior 3 years received C ratings. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I can't really recall, but I know there was an issue where both of them did not. I just need to go back.
The issue was resolved. And I don't understand why no one's questioned. If my reading of trial briefs, didn't GSA write to the Attorney General to ask for a waiver? I mean, you even testified to it. Both could have failed to comply. And if both failed, we are going to waive.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Was there a waiver that you GSA requested from the Attorney General on November the 30th?
I know there was a waiver, but I can't really zero in on what it was particularly. But I know that there
but
was...
But who requested the waiver?
What was that?
Who requested the waiver?
I can't really recall right now, Your Honor.
In my reading of the trial briefs, I thought it was GSA that requested the waiver.
Oh, we were informing, maybe the AG's office, because again, it's more than half a million. So we were getting that, we were working closely with them.
If my recollection of the chronology is correct, you awarded 5619 before you received that waiver from the Attorney General. Because my recollection is that the waiver was requested and received on November 30th.
I'm not sure of the date or the issue, like I said.
Was there a waiver from the AG?
I believe there was, because actually what happens is when we do our analysis, GSA's analysis, on anything in excess of half a million or more, we review together because they have to also clear the procurement record before we move forward.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'm reminding all counsel of their ethical responsibilities, please, at this point. I know I wouldn't have had any information of it unless I had read it in the trial briefs. But I recall a request for a waiver of the Attorney General, and I recall the date to be November the 30th. In somebody's trial brief. I believe it was Ms. Miller's.
I believe in my trial brief, Your Honor, I did mention that there had been an equitable treatment of everybody because neither of them complied. I was not the Assistant Attorney General who handled the procurement for that contract. And so I'm just going off the procurement. In my brief, I would have cited where that was from.
I read it, and it stuck in my brain. It also stuck in my brain that the date was after the award had already been granted, and I couldn't understand how the IFB could have been granted when, as far as my reading was concerned, if, as you put it, both parties have had C ratings, neither one could be determined to be responsible because they had had C ratings. And if they had not disclosed it, then both of them would have been non-responsive. So I don't understand how this award could have gone out with the allegation that either one or both were non-responsive because they hadn't provided or disclosed their C ratings to you. And if they had disclosed it, that how they could be responsible, but for the waiver that was received by the Attorney General, that there was a need to find somebody to do it, and so it was waived. And I don't understand how, with just one agency, you would not have known that with the two of them being the only food vendors that are involved in all the DOC and in Public Health and Social Services, that you wouldn't have known that there was a a below B rating by either or both. So I had problems determining that both were either non-responsive and both were non-responsible. And I don't see how any award could have been awarded if not a debarment of both, actually.
May I interject on that issue? I believe what had happened was on the 28th or 29th or 30th, we did call the AG's office to get a waiver. We informed them of the situation. The only reason I remember that is because that was the day of their Christmas party, and it took a long time for us to get a hold of anyone from the AG's office to answer the telephone, because it was a Saturday. But they did agree to...
By November the 30th, so the last day of the month, and this award was... What was the date of the award for this? It was before the 30th.
November 8th.
Yeah. I didn't understand how it was possible that there was an award. The fair and equitable treatment would have been get the waiver on November the 6th for both of them and then look at the but you don't award it and then go ask for the waiver. It just didn't. Unless my taking of the procurement class is different from the rest of yours, I don't understand how either or both could have been found to be responsive if either one of them had failed to disclose the below B ratings that they had received in the previous 3 years. So then if they didn't, they would have been non-responsive. If they did, they would have been non-responsive. And if they're either or both, neither one could have received the award. And so, therefore, that was the reason why when I was thinking, how could they possibly have done that? And then when I read that there was a request for a waiver that was received, but it was after the fact, why would you ask for the... Why was it after the fact? Why wasn't it done before?
Your Honor, we can go back maybe to the procurement record, because I know that we collaborated, GSA collaborated with the AG's office at every step of the process.
No, I'm telling so that everybody can get this on the record, because I remember it.
Mm-hmm. So we can go
from
back
somebody's brief, because I don't go through the record. I only read the trial briefs and the documents. So I know that there was a waiver and if I have to go find it and none of the attorneys in here remember it and are going to bring it forward, there may be a filing by me to the ethics panel.
Okay.
about forthcoming to the tribunal. Yeah, no, I know it was the government's brief. Anyway, so you can all now have a chance to try to clear me out, clear up my concerns. I do read. She's done, so Ms. Diaz, go ahead.
If I just may make a comment, the requirement to advise of any C rating within the past 3 years stuck out with my client because, yes, in fact, it has had C ratings or below in the past, but not within the past 3 years, from 2016 to 2019. And we are fully aware that we should have divulged that if there was. But we didn't have one, so that's why. And we didn't address it because it wasn't an issue. Our contract or our proposal wasn't an issue. It was just SH Enterprises. And I just confirmed with my client.
Yeah, I don't know what years your client had a below B rating. But as as was testified, she recalls the news stories of the cockroaches, and so did I. I just don't remember what year that was. And so if it wasn't, then we've got to get that then testified to determine who's responsive. Because if in fact you were responsive and they weren't responsive because they didn't submit the April one, then they're not responsive. And if you can prove that it wasn't within the last 5 years, then you can prove that you're responsible and they're not responsible.
Okay.
And that there was no need for the government to go get the waiver, but for both of you being not responsible. So, just so everybody's aware that I read, and I, in spite of my old age, retain the information, you can now prepare and present your evidence to get me over my concerns. You can continue, Ms. Diaz, on with this client, with this witness. Whatever, it's up to you now to just know that I have my own issues, and I'm glad that she testified that both would fail to comply, and if both failed, we are going to waive. So they're hinting, and I hear. In spite of my age, my hearing is still good, and in spite of my age, my retention is still really good. And you've been on for an hour and a half. You want to take a break, and you can all look in your paperwork.
Thank you.
We're off the record at 10:35 a.m. Back on the record at 10:40 a.m.
Thank you, Ms. Popcorn. I had one follow-up question. I asked you earlier if you knew how much the contract for GSA 001-20, which is the contract for food services for include this as part of my exhibits, but if I provided you with a bid status showing that it was awarded to SH Enterprises, would that help jog your memory as to the amount of that contract? Mm-hmm. Mr. Cruz, may I provide you with this document? Thank you.
$5,978,700.
And do you know if that amount is for the initial 3 years or is it for the initial 3 years of the additional 2 years?
I believe it's with the option.
It's with the option. Mm-hmm. So that's the total amount that they could receive?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And just to make sure I understand, when we're dealing with inspection reports from the Department of Public Health, that's not a document that's automatically provided to you by Public Health each time they issue a report or by the vendor. It's something that you get when there's an issue or if you request it. Would that be a correct statement?
Yes. If we request, you know, let's say something was lodged and we requested from them to validate the concern.
But other than that, you don't get any inspection?
No.
Okay. All right. I have no further questions.
Just for my own. You earlier testified to Ms. Diaz that there was a copy of the C rating provided to GSA back in April, on April the 5th. You testified in Exhibit 5, I think, the GSA received a copy of the C rating, but you don't remember having received it, though it had the stamp of GSA on the back.
Yes, that's correct.
Was a copy of that submitted in the SH bid in 5619?
I don't recall, Your Honor, at this point.
Do you recall any C rating notice in the filing by either party?
I don't recall at this point. And I guess, you know, Anita would be, Anita Cruz, the buyer supervisor, who actually does a lot of the analytical work. She would probably recall a lot of those, exercise. Because then when I receive it, I just do real quick reviews and approve based on her recommendation to me. So in remembering those documents back and forth, the buyer supervisor actually gets deeply involved with that analytical work.
And if it had not been provided in the SH bid, would that have made them non-responsive?
Yes, if it wasn't. But again, I know there was an issue. There was an issue. I can't recall that they both didn't submit something, and I'm not sure what that was right now. I can't recall.
All right.
We just go back to the fair and equitable treatment. And I believe that's how we address that, if anything.
But the fair and equitable treatment, then why didn't you ask for the waiver before the award as opposed to 2 weeks after the award, 3 weeks after the award.
Your Honor, I guess were you talking about a date, November 30th? Is that the date that you recall?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know on the 30th, before December, we had to make a decision because there was a protest filed, and I'm not sure if that's the document you're talking about that I can recollect is about the substantial interest of the government to go forward.
I understand the substantial interest in that there's only two food vendors on island. But my question to GSA and you as the CPO, why wasn't that done before November the 8th when the award was granted? Fair and equitable treatment would have been get the waiver before and then consider the two bids and see which one is lower. You don't award it and then go and try to cover yourself with a waiver 3 weeks later.
Yeah, I don't recall a waiver, Your Honor, but I know that, as I stated earlier, where we go, the exercises, we work with the AG's office, so I'm sure with that situation, I just can't recollect, but again, we go back to Ms. Anita, which is one of the witnesses that can maybe go more
okay.
in depth with that exercise.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
May I ask some follow-up questions?
Go ahead.
Do you have a copy of the Purchasing Agency General Services Agency's exhibits in front of you? I want to turn your direction to your GSA's Exhibit K.
It should be in the binder that you have.
Okay.
Just go to the GSA tab.
Okay. Thank you.
Council, you said Exhibit K?
Are you familiar with this document?
Yes.
Is that your signature on the second page?
No, it's not. That was the acting Chief Procurement Officer Christine Tetalto.
Okay, so signed for you.
Yeah.
Okay, but you have seen this document before.
Yes.
Is this the November 30th document you were referring to earlier?
Correct.
Okay, and could you tell? Let's look at this. Can you tell me what the purpose or what this document says?
This is what I was stating earlier about the substantial interest of the government. When a protest is filed, then we got to move forward with an award. And in this situation, you know, December 1st was the next day, and that falls on a Sunday. So we have to make a decision fairly quickly. And We worked with the AG's office again with this substantial interest, and I believe there was a protest filed, and that's what I'm trying to recall. If the California Mart filed a protest, I can't remember which one, but
so
that's what actually ended up with this substantial interest.
So you're saying this letter was in response to a protest?
To a protest, yes.
Okay. Do you know if this protest was made before or after the award of the contract?
I can't recall the time.
Okay. Do you recall when the contract was awarded?
I can't even recall that.
Well, let's turn to Basil Enterprises Exhibit 9.
establish the purchase order.
November 18th, and where do you see that?
On page 175 of Exhibit 9.
Is that 18th or 8th?
November 18th.
I'm sorry, I don't have the same page numbers that you have on your exhibits.
Exhibit 9, page Basel 175.
Right. I'm sorry, I don't have the Bates numbers that Basel has. Okay, so November 18th is when you believe it was awarded. I have Exhibit 9. It says there's a purchase order for November 8th, 2019. Would you have issued a purchase order before award of the contract?
Oh, no. You're looking at the date of the PO, but I'm looking at the actual award was November 18th, when they acknowledged, when the SH signed the contract award.
Okay. And let's look at going back to GSA's Exhibit K. Do you see paragraph 2 where it says a protest was filed by an unsuccessful bidder stating that the award was issued erroneously? I'm sorry, let me give you time to look at Exhibit K. Okay. Okay, so first page, number 2, it says a protest was filed by an unsuccessful bidder stating that the award was issued erroneously. And the unsuccessful bidder in this case was Basel, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so, and this letter is in response to that protest by the unsuccessful bidder, Basel, correct?
Correct.
And it says stating that the award was issued erroneously. So is it fair to say that this protest was made after the award?
I believe it was.
Okay. So this determination pursuant to 5425 was made, was not, or I'm sorry, did you seek this determination or consult with the Attorney General's office on this?
Yes.
And did you, on this particular issue, the protest, or on this particular issue that was protested, this was not something that you had sought the AG's advice prior to award to SH?
Can you repeat the question?
Well, let me rephrase. If you turn to the second page, page 7. Or I'm sorry, paragraph 7. It says, based on the need to provide nutrition services for the seniors, it's determined it is in the best interest of the territory to proceed with the award. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. So you didn't consult with the AG's office prior to the award whether it was necessary to proceed with the award under 5425, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so this was not in fact, you weren't seeking.
Let me take that back, because again, because it's over $500,000, mm-hmm. We actually work in conjunction with the AG's office. So in every step of the process, they're working with us.
Right,
yes.
So you work with them in determining whether a bidder is responsive or responsible?
Correct.
Okay. But you did not work with the AG's office or specifically request prior to award a determination whether you needed to waive any particular specification.
And that's why I'm saying I believe there was communication with the Attorney General's office in every step of the analysis that we're going through. So that's what I'm saying. If we went back to the record, which, you know, we can go back. We will find it. It's just I can't recall right now. You know, it's just a year ago. So
right.
I'm just trying to recollect. But I know that the AG's office has been working closely with us in this award, even through the analysis.
Okay. But Exhibit K, what you have in front of you,
mm-hmm.
That would not have been an opinion on whether you should waive the specification prior to award.
Prior to an award? No, this is after.
Okay, this is
post.
With respect to Basil's protest.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify.
Yes.
And you're saying we need to go back to the procurement record. Are you saying that you don't recall whether it was required as part of this IFB to disclose privacy ratings?
Can you repeat the question?
Do you recall whether it was a requirement to disclose a privacy rating?
I'm not sure if it's, I know that there was something earlier was asked if they're supposed to provide the documents, right, or something like that. But I know that there was something to the effect of disclosing the ratings.
Okay, but do you recall whether that was a specification that they must disclose any privacy rating?
I can't really recall right now.
Okay. But there was a requirement that they certify that they've never been disbarred, suspended, or had a contract otherwise terminated.
In the solicitation?
Yes.
If they were debarred?
Yes.
If there was a statement in the contract, in the specifications, you mean?
Yes, in the specifications. Were they required to certify whether they had a contract that was terminated?
Yeah, I believe they were.
Okay. And that's in fact the basis of Basil's protest. Is that correct?
That SH got terminated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Paul. Your next word is Ms. Paul. I get you.
Do
you want to make sure that microphone is just enough to her? Why don't you have Ms. Means slide closer to me and have the interpreter slide closer so you can get that microphone. I just don't want it to be lost.
morning, Mrs. Nansky. What is your relation to SH Enterprises? How long have you been the vice president of SH Enterprises? And you have been operating consistently since 1995? I'm sorry? What is the relation between SH Enterprises and California Mart?
SH Enterprises, DBA, California Mart.
And who is the president of SH Enterprises?
My husband, California.
And how long has he been the president?
Since
1995? What kind of company is SH Enterprises?
We are grocery market.
Grocery market, anything else?
And right now, also owner of a building, rent, business.
So you have a rental property?
Yes.
Is that the Hakubukun building?
Yes.
Are you involved in any other type of service?
No.
Aren't you involved in food services? You provide food
yes.
to the government?
Yes.
The food services contracts that you've held in the past, were they mainly for government contracts or for private companies? If you can turn to Exhibit 7, please, page 82. Does this document, does page 82 and 83 look familiar to you, Mrs. Nim? What is this document?
My resume.
Your resume. Is this a document that you prepared?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, in terms of the work experience, it looks like you started providing food catering services to the government in March of 2004. And then it looks like you did it through May 2000, so the first one is March 2004 all the way through February 2012, is that correct?
Yes.
So like an 8-year period you had the Department of Corrections contract. And then within the same time or overlapping from June 2010 to May 2014, you had the food services contract. Would that be for the Manunco as well, Department of Senior Citizens?
Yes, this is an emergency 3 months.
3 months. Was that congregate meals and home delivery, if you recall?
Yes, both.
It was both?
Yes.
The next government contract was 1 month in 2017. Looks like an emergency food contract for the Manunco again, is that correct? And then from July 2018 to the present, there is another emergency contract for DOC, food services.
Yes.
Is that something that you carry through? Is that a contract that you still have?
Yes.
And that's in addition to GSA 001-20? So you have two DOC contracts right now?
Yes.
Okay. And then you also have the September 2018 to the present emergency food contract for Homeland Security, Guam National Guard workforces, and a Spoonbow shelter. Is that contract still in effect? Are you still providing services?
Yes, Typhoon Times, working for 1 20 or 30.
Oh, okay. So that was just a 1 or 2 week.
Yes, Typhoon Times.
Okay, so that one has completed. Not just for the okay. Okay, all right, thank you. Now, these contracts that you had with the government, you obtained them through the procurement process, is that correct? So you would have to either respond to an emergency procurement or an IFB, is that correct? And who prepares your bid packet?
Before 2004, first time we had employed a real employee supervisor, but this time, since last year, my husband and I, we both together.
So since 2019 to the present, it's been you and your husband
yes.
that would prepare your bid packages?
Yes.
So in light of the fact that you've had quite a number of government contracts and you and your husband also prepare the bid package, would you state that you're quite familiar with the procurement process?
Yes.
Would you also state that you're familiar with the food safety code and any regulations or requirements for food safety and sanitation?
Okay, that only
yes. Do you have any training in that regard?
Yes.
What training do you have?
Food service, management, management and license.
I'm sorry, you have a management?
Yes. I have a license, 5 years license.
5 year license for what?
Food management service.
And when did you get that license?
This year.
And it's good for 5 years? Do you have any other training? But you hired somebody to prepare that plan, is that correct? So prior to you and your husband preparing the bid package, every time you submitted a bid packet for the prior contract, was that something that you reviewed and approved before it was submitted? If you can turn to page 2 of exhibit 1.
Can you repeat that?
Sure, page 2. So page 2 through 5 is a purchase order. Does this document look familiar to you?
Yes.
And on page 5, is that your signature? acknowledgement section?
Yes.
And is it your understanding that this purchase order is for an April 1st, is for an April 2019 contract for home delivered meals? Yes. And do you recall who the recipient was for these meals? And it states here that the first day you were to provide meals was April 1st of 2019. Is that correct?
Yes.
And did you provide meals to the Mananco on that day?
Yes.
And if I may request clarification, this April 2019 contract, was it for both home-delivered meals and congregate meals?
Yes.
If you can go to page 7, exhibit 2. And it's pages 7 to 26. Can you review that document, please? So this contract was for April 2019, and you testified earlier that for 2019, for you and your husband would prepare a price quotation on a bid package. So in this case, did you and your husband submit the response to this solicitation? Did you and your husband read the entirety of the solicitation? And just because of the language, I know that you speak Korean. Did you need to have any part of this contract translated to you in order to understand it? So if there was an issue regarding a translation, would he explain it to you so that you understood it? And when you submitted your price quotation for this, was it your intent to abide by all of the requirements and specifications in this document?
Yes.
know, if you go on page 7, paragraph 2, it says the estimated range of meals served per day is 1,000 to 1,200 meals. Now, were you fully aware of the number of meals that had to be provided under this contract for home delivery meals? Sure. So the second paragraph on page 7, it says the estimated range of meals served per day is 1,000 to 1,200 meals. When you submitted your price quotation for this, you were fully aware that you would have to prepare, package, and deliver 1,000 to 1,200 meals for the home delivered part of the contract. Is that correct? Fully aware that you had to provide the meals between 10 a.m. and 12:30 p.m., correct? And then in section 4.4, the food safety and sanitation section, you were aware that you had to comply with any federal or local regulatory agency's requirements for safety and sanitation. Is that correct? On page 13, section 4.13, says the vendor shall ensure all meals are complete with meal order, properly packaged, labeled, and ready for delivery to homebound authorized clients prior to leaving the central kitchen. So you are also aware of that requirement when you are ordering the contract. And if you go down to section 4.14, this section talks about meal complaints. It says the vendor shall immediately report complaints regarding meals to Department of Public Health, Social Services, Division of Senior Citizens Program Coordinator assigned to oversee this program as follows. Section A, meals not delivered within designated delivery time. Were you aware of that? When you awarded the contract?
Yes.
Okay.
At the time, we are not enough with North Niger. Supposed to be 100%, they moved to from Brazil to SH. But this day, I think only 50% driver moved to our company. They still, you know, they don't move to our company. That's why we are first day, really, really, you know, huge. We cannot deliver on time, also shortage driver. So I answer phone from Manapo, you know, elder people, delivery, you know, words of my food. I just take call to me a lot. That's why I call DSC, you know, please, we need a driver from Brazil, please. Tell them move to new vendor. So I called Mr. Sana Rostin, you know, Miss Sandy Polan. And then I almost crying, but you know, I don't know. All the time, every time we cut, driver they hold. I don't know why they hold driver. So how can new company, you know, on time delivery and then service to our farm or the other people? So I really, you know, couple of years, I have a question. I hopefully at the time. Either business. This is either not personal, you know, whole, you know, driver like that. So I hopefully next time, however, I'm not, you know, bid, who bid, you know, this is by law, I hopefully. Automatically, who new company winner, follow driver or employee driver, move to new company. You know, since I really, not only this time, this one, 2017 June, with 3 months emergency time, also they don't move our, you know, company. At the time also, I have many problems. So also at the time, Brazil protested to us, complained to, you know, government. I don't know if they are finished the January 3 this year or finished. So if my case, I lost suit, last 2013, we have a bidding or emergency time. I nicely to our old employee, old driver. We lost the bid this time, so you should go Brazil, move to work there. So they really, a lot of people asking me, oh, Mr. Smith, I want to work with you. Like, no, no, this time we lost, you go there. I talk to them, you can inspection to all driver call, who gonna, you know, just do it like that. So I really general, you know, just, what do you call that, nicely, you move to, or starting work, Brazil company. This we lost. If next time we have a chance, you come back to our company. But 16, 17, June 1st, 3 months we have it. They hold 1 month, they don't release our driver. So Mr. San Agustin went there, visit there. And then he asked him, please, everybody listen, help to new company. But they didn't listen. Mr. San Agustin go visit there, all drivers, you know, meeting. Mr. San Agustin, he knows the story. So many, you know, if this big business, this is not, you know, small, very huge. If not on time delivery, one elder people, they are cannot get a bill, they really problem.
Mrs. Smith, I just
want
to make sure that
we're
sticking to the question.
OPA. This is by law, just make it who won. Automatically driver move to a new company like that. I hopefully government by law make it like that. If not, only one company, 10 year, 20 year can do. No penalty, no delivery, no. If a new company cannot deliver, you know, on time like that, penalty a lot, have a problem, they make it to me problem. Late delivery, again, delivery problem, or like taking. I don't know why they behind to me, they doing something wrong, and then they call me dear, and then
okay,
suddenly
I'm
like
I'm sorry,
that.
We're getting off track here, and we've only got a couple of minutes, so I don't.
Yes, sorry.
No,
I'm,
it's okay.
I'm
so let me just ask you the next question. If you need to take a break, just let us know. Sounds like you're a bit out of breath, and I want to make sure that you provide your best testimony today.
Sorry.
It's okay. Do you need to take a break?
I need water.
to present the best testimony to the best of your recollection today. Okay? So take your time, listen to the questions, and if you need a break, just let us know. So you indicated, or excuse me, pursuant to the contract, started on Monday, April 1st, and by Friday, April 5th, you issued a letter to GSA indicating that you were withdrawing or canceling the contract. Between that time period, or during that time period, how many complaints were you receiving regarding the failure to timely deliver the mail?
Okay, first day, second, first day a lot. Second day, we kept some. And then third day, suddenly come inspection from our health. And then also GSA, two person. Our health, two person. Third day, means emergency time, really, you know, messed up, you know, sometimes. Not this is a 5 year long contract. This is emergency only 1 month.
And just to clarify, so on the third day, April 3rd, you were inspected by both Public Health and GSA? Is that what you said?
No, they come, I think they come, you know, yes, because someone, I don't remember, GSA, GSA or Public Health, they come. And then why our driver, we just emergency couple year, I don't service this one. So our driver come to from Brazil. They are not close with me. I don't know what happening already happened, but outside they know, but they don't report to me. And then suddenly, third day, public health come to early in the morning, inspection. That's why I'm not expecting, you know, third day, this is emergency. And then third day, come to inspection suddenly. I really, you know, in the morning, I'm also attend there. I start in 4 o'clock, 4 a.m. I start in, I control with all kitchen, you know, area like that. They say, yesterday, our driver delivered south area. So inside the cooler, measure up, you know, just, so they take picture, our driver take picture, and then they send it to...
Can I just object? I think the witness is narrating. I don't know what, I don't know if she's responding to the question.
Was that yesterday?
Let me just remind the witness, answer the question.
Yes.
Answer the question.
Can let me ask you?
Okay.
Let me ask you.
Why don't you let her repeat the question?
Let me ask another question. Let's move on and let me ask you. So, pursuant to section 4.14 on page 13, it says that whenever you get complaints regarding the mails, you have to report it to the program coordinator at Division of Senior Citizens. Did you report those complaints?
Yes, they customer complaint delay. Also, they call GSA customer. They call to GSA. So yes, I call also GSA.
Okay, so upon receipt of a complaint,
yes,
you would inform GSA as well as,
yes,
the DSC program coordinator. Each time that happened within the first week of April? Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. If you can go to page 14. On the top of 14 is section 4.15. And that section says that you are required to submit copies of all inspection reports received from government agencies, inclusive of food service establishment inspection reports, and they have to be provided to Department of Public Health Division of Senior Citizens within 30 minutes upon receipt of the inspection report. So you indicated that on April 3rd, Public Health came to inspect your facility. And did you receive the inspection report that day? Okay. And pursuant to this section, did you, within 30 minutes, provide a copy to the Division of Senior Citizens?
Yes, they know already. They DSC, they know our leaders, they know they come to inspection, you know, together maybe, they know.
They came together?
Yes, but our leaders from inspector told me at the time, grade C gave to me.
Okay.
But they say not shut down kitchen that way. Before, actually, if B, I got experience a long time ago, 2006 or
2008. Mrs. Mann, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. Yes. I do have a lot of questions to ask you. So I want to make sure that I get through those questions. But you did answer my question.
No, I mean C grade. I got C grade. They inspected for me until 2 years after the inspection, 14. March 14th.
Okay, but the contract had also already been given to Basil. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. Let me ask you my next question.
Yes.
Thank you. Now, when you took over this contract on April 1st, did you already have some delivery drivers set up that were not affiliated with Basil?
We have some our employee, California Mart employee.
Okay.
Just I have experience. Usually, you know, from DSC also they know if we want driver, this is a driver automatically. See who driving, you know, 1,200 all over on island cannot, you know, new driver cannot deliver it because all driver come to new company. Another, you know, they move to always, they saw 10 years, 20 years, employees driver there. They are move here, move to another than this.
Okay, thank you. If you go to page 18, please. Section 6.11, it states that you are to ensure that your delivery staff is properly licensed by DMV. And section 6.12 states that you have to ensure that your delivery staff is knowledgeable in terms of delivering the meal. So you were aware of that requirement when the contract was awarded to you, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. If you can go to page 24, please. Section 12.5. And it says that USH Enterprises were held to the highest standards of conduct of your staff administering the services to the elderly. It's noted here that the staff must abide by a zero tolerance of encouraging, accepting, and receiving any type of loan, monetary gift, or gratuity, or any other form of financial gain from clients or their families. So you are aware that you guys had to adhere to this requirement as well, is that correct? Yes. And if you go down to section 12.8, this discusses the inspection report, and it says essentially that upon receipt of a C rating from Public Health, that you should be, or shall be, excuse me, term- terminated as a vendor. So upon receipt of the C rating from Public Health, did you contact anyone to inform them of the C rating?
No, C rating is we are put our word C rating plus. And then C rating already know PSC and Public Health.
Okay.
PSC and Public Health. And then, but Public Health notice to us, re-inspection, 14. They don't say kitchen shut down right away tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They don't notice to me, but we are third C, grade C, but 14, they say 14 re-inspection come to inspection again. And then 7, 5, Friday, at the end of Friday, third is I think Wednesday. Friday, April 5th, I make a letter. My husband and I, we decided this one we deliver late, we cannot be allowed. So we make a letter, we gonna withdraw. Withdraw this 1 month emergency meeting. We send it to GSA. Yeah, we
okay.
So we're not gonna inspection again, you know, inspection 14, during we cooking time, we would call that inspection preparing inspection 14, we cannot together prepare the food with, you know, just 14 inspection, we fix like that, we cannot do that.
Okay, and I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to make sure that we're staying on track here. When you receive and bid on this contract, is it a correct statement that you are fully aware that upon receipt of a C rating from Public Health that your contract has been terminated? You knew that, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So, when you received the C rating on April 3rd, you knew that your contract would be terminated. Is that correct?
No, they don't terminate. That's why I didn't know. I know only my here, grade D shut down next day right away. I only know if, you know, B grade kitchen shut down right away tomorrow. But we got C. That's why they give us a chance 14 coming back inspection again. I know. Only I know that one. Because last
sorry, I don't mean to be rude. I just want to make sure that we're sticking to the issue at hand. Because you've been involved with these government contracts for several years, you're aware that each contract is different, correct? So every contract has a certain specification as to when a termination can occur, is that correct?
Yes,
so all the contracts are different, specifications are different, and so in this case, this contract specifically stated that upon a C rating, the contract would be terminated. You're aware of that, correct?
Yes. I don't know. I have a termination letter from GSA or DSC. In termination, we cannot give. But this is, we don't termination any letter. At the time, April, we have a grade C, no terminator letter.
Termination
letter. That's why we don't, you know, just
a year.
That's why 2016-17, June 1st, another company, they are inspection D 3 months service. That's why I thought grade D is close kitchen other way. C is still, you know, I thought the chance.
Can I clarify something that you said a few minutes ago? You said upon, and I'm paraphrasing, receipt of a termination letter, you cannot bid? What do you mean by that? You cannot bid on other contracts?
No, if terminate, already terminate, kitchen, shut down letter, cannot, I'm thinking, cannot bid. But I don't have any letter. Shut down our kitchen. Any letter. I don't receive any letter.
Wait, you cannot bid on the same contract or a different contract?
Same contract or even different. Any food catering service?
Any food contract. So is it a correct statement that you wanted to avoid a termination letter?
Termination letter.
So she did not receive any termination letter, so that's what made her believe that it's okay with us to continue.
Okay. But if you did receive a termination letter, that means that you could no longer bid on any food contract.
If the termination letter coming up, if bidding come up, newspaper, we can call asking to GSA if we are qualified, we have a termination letter, which date, like that, we can ask to them.
터미네이션 편지를 받으면 앞으로 어떤 것도 비리는 못한다고 알고 계셨던 거야? 아니면 상관없이?
Let me clarify. Sorry.
Sorry, Jerry. Could I clarify? I think it might be good to take a break unless we're going to be finishing soon.
I'll be quick. So you indicated earlier that if you get a termination letter, you cannot bid. And so you said, since you didn't get a termination letter from public health, you're okay to perform because they didn't shut down the kitchen. Am I correct so far? Okay. But if you did get a termination letter, then that means you cannot bid on any other food contract? Is that what you're saying? So what do you mean by that? You get a termination letter, you cannot.
터미네이션 레벨을 안 받았기 때문에 문제가 없었다고 생각합니다. So she thought there was no problem because she didn't receive a formal termination letter. So it has nothing to do with future bidding or contract. That's what she meant by the termination letter.
Okay. And so what did you mean by you can't bid on any future contracts or any other food service contract?
근데 아까 왜 나중에 미래나 딴 거에 비딩을 할 수 없냐고 그런 얘기를 했었는데. 터미네이션 편지를 받고 나면은 왜 나중에 미래에 다가오는
마음만은 뭐.
So she misunderstood the question. She mis-expressed herself.
Okay. Under what circumstance do you believe you cannot bid on another food services contract?
마지막 생각에는 어떤 문제가 있으면은 미래에 컨트롤이 비대는 아예 할 수 없다고 생각을 하시는지 그것도 모르겠어요. 어떤 걸로 잘못하면은 아, 난 미래에 다시는 그걸 비대는 못하겠구나. 그렇게 생각하는 부분이 있습니다.
If you know, not allowed from government, your company, you know, get inspection clarity, something like that cannot be letter, if letter from government, I cannot, you know, give any things.
The government is a printer, also, and they can offer us also. So in her mind, she's thinking if there's any formal letter coming from the government agency that you can no longer participate in future bidding, then she will understand that as, take that as can't, no opportunity.
I bought quite a few more exhibits to get through with Mrs. Smith. And I need a second to collect my thoughts, and I know that it's close to the noon hour. Would it be okay if we just
No problem. Let's break until 9 tomorrow morning.
Okay. And tomorrow we'll go till
all day.
5 o'clock? Okay. All right, well thank you.
So we'll continue
tomorrow.
We're off the record at 11:50 a.m.